Okay, Rabos, I hope all is good. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Chaf Gimel. We're here at the bottom of Chaf Beis and Beis by the Gemara. Right, the Mishnah had explained the procedure for letting the Galus know that we had declared Rosh Hashanah by lighting all these fires, these bonfires, and that they used to do back in the day, and then obviously until things got messed up by the Kutim. But again, that's basically what the Mishnah discussed. And so the Gemara is obviously going to pick up on that and continue and elaborate on that. So the first thing we're going to talk about, right, the Gemara says that my mashma de mesiyan lishna dikodhu. How do you know the word again? The phrase that we use in the Mishnah to say that they would light these bonfires, or you'll see, not really bonfires, but as the Mishnah said, kind of like these torches that they would wave all around. They said Masian Masuos. So the question is, what is this word Masian? What do you see that means burning or lighting on fire? So the pasuk says, David vanashav, that David and his men, right, they would burn. What's it called? The avodah zarah, right, of the plishtim. So again, vayisaim again means that they burned them, right? Mitagimina vokdinan David, right? And then the translation in Aramaic is that they would burn them. So you see that the word the vayisaim means to burn. Tanu rabba, v'lo din rabaisa. They only would light these fires to send word to the Gullus if Rosh Chodesh was Bizman, meaning if day 30 was Rosh Chodesh, i.e. day 30 was the first day of the next month, and the Chodesh beforehand was Chaser, had 29 days. And if it was 30 days, then they would not light these bonfires. Meaning if Rosh Chodesh was, if the month was full, right, Rosh Chodesh was the 31st day, so that meaning the first day of the next month was the 31st day, they would not light these bonfires. The imasai masiyan, and when would they burn them? So obviously, l'or iburo, obviously at night, right? The day after the what's it called? The night after the 30th. So that's when again, because to be just technically right, to say, tell someone had found out that it was they saw the new moon, right? So Beis Din had to kind of decide that on the 30th day. Right, if they decided that day was Rosh Chodesh, so the first available time for them to burn, fire that would be seen at a distance would be at nighttime. So they would burn it on the day after, on the night after the day they made Rosh Chodesh, i.e., on the night after the 30th, the night of the 31st, right, which in this case would be actually the 2nd. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Da'achser avdinan amale lo avdinan at my time." So go ahead. So what's the logic here? So that's meaning if we're going to tell everybody when Rosh Chodesh is, so why would we only tell them if the Chodesh, if the month was Chaser, right? Why does that make sense? So Rabbi Zeira says, "Gzerim shemesh Chodesh Chaser shechalios be'erev Shabbos." It's a technical issue outside of this, the whole letting people know. The issue is when Rosh Chodesh would be Chaser, and Rosh Chodesh would fall out on Erev Shabbos. Shockingly enough, that's like this week. This week, Kislev, Rosh Chodesh Kislev is Friday. Right, Cheshvan is Chaser, and sure enough, that's what we're faced with. So what would happen back in the day? If Rosh Chodesh was Friday, right, we said they would do the bonfires the day after the 30th day, i.e. the day after the night after Rosh Chodesh. That would be Friday night, so that doesn't work. So Imas Avdi, right, when could they light these bonfires, right, or these fires? I keep on saying bonfires, but it's really like these as we saw in the Mishnah, like these torches that they would wave. Anyway, Bafuke Mishabza, so they would light these fires on Matzah Shabbos, right? And the Eid Amris Navid Nami Amale. The problem is that if they would say that we also light bonfires or the fires on for a full month, so then that's a problem, because then asu lumute, then people wouldn't make a mistake. People wouldn't know. Right? Again, think about it. If you had a bonfire or a fire on Motzei Shabbos, and we lit fires for both a full month and a chaser month, so how do you know what the Rosh Chodesh is? Right, you don't know. Was it Friday night and they didn't light the candle, the fire Friday night because it was Shabbos? Or was it Shabbos? And then, and therefore you start counting from Shabbos. So as the Gemara explains, right? Amri hai chaser, hu v'hai delo avid me'etz mo'om shum delo efshir, is the month chaser, and the reason they didn't light the fires on Friday night is because they couldn't. Odoma, or maybe molehu, ubizmano avdu, or maybe it's a full 30 days, the previous month was full 30 days, and they're just lighting it in their proper time, and Motzei Shabbos after the 31st day of Rosh Chodesh. So that was the problem. So therefore, they rectified it by saying we're only going to light when it's chaser. And therefore, if you see the fire Motzei Shabbos, you should know that Friday was Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, "Well, one second. Hold on. Why don't we light fires? Continue. Why don't like do like this? Like light the fires, whether it was 29 or 30 days of the month." And if Rosh Chodesh hits on Friday, then don't light any bonfires at all. And once the people realize that there's no fire on Motzei Shabbos, they didn't see anything. And then Memela, they'll know, well, if they'll know that it was Friday night. And if there's no fire to indicate Rosh Chodesh, right? So if the default is that they always light the fires, and now if there was no fire on Saturday night, it must be that Friday must have been Rosh Chodesh, and Friday night they didn't light the candles, they didn't light the fire because they couldn't. So the Gemara says, "Afilu achi asu l'miti." So no, because that could also cause confusion. Because Amri hai malehu v'haydelo avde itnusehu de itnuse. Right? It could people might say that really the reason they didn't light the fires on Motzei Shabbos is because there was an anus. There was a mistake. What happened? Was something an accident? Fascinating. Rashi says, because they got drunk on Shabbos. B'shichrus, shalmishta Shabbos. Could be that the guy who was supposed to light the fires got drunk. And he just passed out. He didn't make it. So they would say that the people might argue that the only reason they didn't light the fires, there's always a fire, but the reason they didn't light the fires is because he was an anus. So therefore, again, people might be confused, and therefore that we didn't want to do that. So another possibility. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're only going to light fires for one of those possibilities, whether the month was full or not, so why do we light it when it was chaser? Why don't you light the fires if it was male? Because then, in that scenario, you will have bitul malacha. You won't have, you'll have people not doing work. Meaning, on both the 30th and the 31st day, right? People, again, now, Rashi over here says that we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. That once a year, people will not be sure what day Rosh Hashanah is. Right, that again, they're going to wait for the torches, so they would have to wait until the end of the 31st day. Right, again, if it's only chaser, if it's only on Malay, right, so they have to wait to see if it was Malay, and if there was no fires, then it was chaser. Right, so then they're waiting two extra days, and then Pasha says they're what's it called? They're waiting, and they're not doing work. So that, what's it called? If you just look at Rashi, Tosos doesn't like that so much. If you look at Tosos over there, Dibur Maskil Mishum, Perishu Kuntros in the Chodesh Hashanah she'in mevatlen b'nei golem and malacha beziyamim, because people are going to mess over for Rosh Hashanah. He doesn't like that so much. So okay, check it out. Meaning again, he quotes the minhag of some people don't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Like Chol HaMoed, it could be simply that they're talking about that you have four aliyahs in shul, and is that type of bitul malacha? Okay, either way, definitely something to check out here. But Pasha says that again, if you would wait till the end of the 31st day, right, and then they would find out whether it was malei or chaser because you lit the candles or not, they lit the fires or not. So that would, again, it would cause more confusion. It would cause people not to necessarily go to work. Okay. Ketzariyu masim masulos. What's the deal with this wood? The Mishnah now is going to list off a bunch of different types of wood. We're going to kind of veer slightly off topic here. But anyway, how would they light it? Again, the Mishnah, right, had discussed a bunch of different types of wood that they would bring. And Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Arba Mini Arazim Hein. There are four types of Erez wood. Right, Erez Kisron, Erez Eitz Shemen. That's Erez, comma, Kisron, Eitz Shemen Uvrosh. Okay, Kisron, what is that? Amarav Adra, that's Adra. Debeir Rav Shela Amri, that it is Mavliga. Amri Lan Sivik will say Zugulmesh. Okay, fine. Again, we're really going to just list off a bunch of species here. Upliga the Rav Baravuna, the Amarav Baravuna, Amri Beirav. Hasara mine Erezimim. Right, not that there are four, but really there are 10 different types of Erez wood. Shneimaz Pasuk says, "I think my bar Erez Shita of Hadas Veitz Shemen Asim Barava Brosh Tidar Utashur Yachdov." As the Gemara says, Erez is Arza, Shita is Tornisa, Hadas is Asa, Veitz Shemen is Afarsama, Barosh is Barta, Tidar is Shaga, and Tashur is Shurivna. The Gemara says just quickly, right? Well, the Hani Shivahu Avi, right? That's seven. Right? What do you mean? What do you mean ten? So Kiyasa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel, he went to Bavli, showed up. He said, "Hosifa lehem alonim, almonim, and almogim." Right? They added those to the species of cedarwood. Alonim botmi, and alonim is botem, as a type of botem tree. Almonim is baloti, and almogim is kisisa. And almogim is kisisa. Kisisa is coral wood that grows, obviously, that grows, it's not really wood, it's, let's say it's a type of wood, grows on the sea floor. We're going to talk about that in a second. That's why I translated that one. Igadamri, some people say aronim armonim almogim. Right, some people say that was the last three types of cedar woods. And aronim is are, and armonim is dolvi, and almogim is kasisa. And almogim, again, they agree that almogim is this kasisa, this coral. Now, again, why does the Gemara go to great lengths to do this? So it could very well be, again, I haven't seen this anywhere necessarily, but very often when the Gemara tries to define this stuff, it's for mekach u'memchar purposes. If someone says, I'm going to sell you, let's say he'll sell you Erez wood, and then you send him, you know, you give him one of these 10 species, so it could be that that's fine, right? As opposed to other species, if you give him other types of wood after he pays you, whatever, so that could be Mekachtaos. Okay, Gemara doesn't say that, right? Just often the Gemara does. Here it happens not to, but I would imagine that would be one of the reasons they would have to define all these wood trees. Okay, now, V'chiyadir v'loy avrenu, the pasuk says, a ship cannot go past. Rashi says, yeah, that in Yeshayahu is going to say that there's going to be a river from the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be such an intense river that the ship is not going to be able to cross. So Amar Rav, Rav says, Zu Borni Gedol, that's referring to this big type of ship. Hechi Avdu, how would they use this ship? So Maisu Shis Alfi Gavri Betracer Yerche Shasa, fascinating. They would take 6,000 men on this ship for a year. Is 12 months time. Some people say tracer alfi gavri, but she's a yerachishatza. Some people say it was reversed. But either way, v'tani lachala ad shachna, they would kind of load up the ship with sand. Meaning that's how they would They would kind of get the ship to kind of drag down a little bit. Right, and they would v'nachis abar amurai. And that's not an amora. That's they would take an amorai, and an amorai is a diver, basically someone who knows, right? If you the Rashi melumad l'shot benaro, someone who is very expert in swimming in the rivers. What would happen? V'katar atune b'chista b'chitna the kasisa. They would tie kitna is flax to this kasisa, to this coral in the river. V'katar l'hubis finta, they would tie the other side to the ship. And then, and then they would take the sand, right, and throw it overboard. Meaning they would put all this heavy stuff on the ship, and right, they would tie almost like again to like you get the image of like ripping out a tooth with a door, like you slam the door, a tooth comes out. So they would tie the rope around the coral. They would tie it to a heavy ship. They would lighten the ship. The ship would go up, and theoretically, it would rip out the coral. V'kama dematlia akra umasia. Right, again, that's what we basically just explained. That the ship goes up, it would rip out the coral. Umachliv ad chad train bakasman, and apparently it's very valuable that you could get two silver pieces for one piece of coral. I'm not sure how big it was, but for one piece of coral. Tlas parvasa havian, there were three places where they would do this at Tarti Bay Aramai, apparently two in the Aramean areas, or v'chada the Bay Parsai, one in Persia. The Be Aramai Maskin Kasisa, right? Again, in Aramea, they would take up this coal the coral situation. The Be Parsai Maskin Marganisa, and in Persia, they would bring up pearls. Right? Umakaraya Parvasa de Mashmaik, and it was called the port of the kingdom. Okay, fine. All right, Namal, right, Rashi says Namal is a port. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol shita b'shita shenatlu nachr mi Yisrael, for every tree, that's a shita, not like an opinion, but here, for every tree that the Goyim took from Yerushalayim, Azir Gosh Baruch Hu, Lav Ziron, La Gosh Baruch Hu is going to bring it back. Shemar, as tain balimbar, erez shita. you know, plant in the Midbar, right, in the wilderness, right, in the wilderness, the trees, right, again, these Erez tree that we've been talking about. Vein Midbar El Yishalayim, Shemar Tzion, Midbar Haisa, again, that's, right, unfortunately, a pasuk in Eicha. In Yishayo, I take it back. But it sounds like it should be in Eicha, right? That Sion has become a desert. Okay. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol Olami Torah Veinu Malamda Dome LaHadas BaMidbar. Once we're talking about a desert, anybody who learns Torah does not teach it. It's like a hadas, which is a wonderfully smelling, beautiful plant, in a midbar, meaning it's in a desert, meaning no one can enjoy its beauty and its nice smells. Igadam, some people say, Kol Olami Torah Malamda B'Makom Sheim Tamei Chachamim. Is the opposite, meaning in a more positive light, that someone who teaches Torah in a place where there's nobody else learning, so it's like a hadas in the midbar, right? Dechaviv, because it's very beautiful, right? And it's very a dear to Kosh Baruch Hu for what that person is doing. Rabbi Yochanan, says, Oy lehem la'avdei kochavim she'ein lehem darkana. Oyvei for these Avodah Zarah guys who have nothing they can do to fix themselves. Shneimer's pasuk says, Tachas anachoshes aviv zahav. Takas Barzel of Kesef, Takas Haitim Nechoshes, Takas Avan and Barzel. Basically, we're talking about how all these things are going to be replaced. Takas Rabbi Kiva Chaver of my Mamavim. What in the world can the Romans do to replace the Sar Rugi Malchus? The Valaim Omer, Pazuk says about them, in Kesi Damam, Loni Kesi, right? I will not clean the blood, meaning the blood on the hands of the Goyim. Kosh Baruch will not clean off, meaning they're going to have to answer for their atrocities. Okay. Where would they get these torches? And where would they do these torch lights? Base Balton, the commercial says, my Base Balton, what is that? So Rav says, Zu Biram. That was Biram, which is, again, that was also on the way to Bavel. My Gola, what is that? Amar Rav Yosef, as I mentioned yesterday, Zu Pumpadisa. That's talking about Pumpadisa. My Kamadura says, so why does it say that Pumpadisa was lit up like a fire, like a bonfire, like a torch? Madura is a torch, I guess bonfire maybe. Titana with under Baisa, call Echa Viecha, Nota Lavuka Viodo, and Va'ola Rosh Gago, because everybody in Pumpadisa would take a torch and go up on their own roofs and wave it as well. I mean, it looked like the whole thing was on fire. I remember when I lived in Mevaseret, so you could, unlike Bomber, you could see Harnof. It was basically looked like it was burning because they have this whole stretch of road on the side of Harnof that faces the mountain where they made all their bonfires. When I moved to Harnof, I understood why it looked like that, because you go into Rosenthal and there are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bonfires just burning, and it looks like the whole mountain's on fire. So Pashas, that's what it looked like in Pompadisa. Okay. Tanya will do the Raisa. Rabbi Shimon Alozo Omer Af Charim Vekayer Vegeder Vechavrosa. Meaning that even these cities, even these places, had fires as well. Some people say that they were between all of the other places we listed right in the Mishnah. And some people say it was on the other side of Eretz Yisrael, meaning towards Bavel is the ones we mentioned in the Mishnah. But other, again, Eretz Yisrael goes up and down, right? So it could have been on other borders. Meaning, and the Mishnah is talking about one side of Eretz Yisrael, and this Braisa is talking about the other side. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Bein kol achas ve'achas shmona parsos." Right, between every one of these fires is 8 parsa, which is about a parsa is like a quarter, is like 2/3 of a mile. So if there's 8 of them, quick math. I don't know. What is that? 3, 4? Something like that. All right. Either way. Okay. No, I take it back. Isn't a meal a quarter? No, now I'm confused. All right. Either way, Pashas is 8 parsas. All right. Let's go back there. I forget exactly how long a parsa was. I'm getting confused between a meal and a parsa. A meal, yeah, that's why I'm stopping myself. A meal is 2/3 of a mile. And a parsa, I forget already. Fighter. Kama havalahu, how far was it from these places, or between these places? Tlosin v'tartin. Meaning, if you're telling me that there's 8 parsas between each of these points, right, so that gets you to 32. I didn't to Bahave, but 1 second. But there, if you look at a map, right, there's much more than 32 parsas. So Rabbi says, Tatume istatum lahavu drachei. No, because the roads there are blocked off. Tichtiv, as the pasuk says, lachen nisachas darkech besirim. I'm going to block the road with thorns. Meaning, yeah, the way the crow flies, yeah, it may be, 32 parsas, but to get there, it takes much longer. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Mehalcha, he says, the pasuk says, Dechtiv Nesivusai Izah, right, that the paths will be moved around. Okay, fine. Chatzar Gedolah Haizah B'Yerushalayim. Now, back to the story, how would they would accept the witnesses for Kiddushin Chodesh? So Chatzar Gedolah Haizah B'Yerushalayim, there's a big chatzar, a courtyard in Yerushalayim, Beis Yazek, Kaisa Nikres, it was called Beis Yazek. L'Sham Haya Edim, Kol Edim Wisconsin. Right? All the Edim would get in there. Right, that's where they would herd them in together. Based in both Kinosam Sham, that's where they would get tested as well. Usudos Gedolos was Lahem, and sure enough, right, you know, Baruch Hashem, there's a big gathering of food. Big gathering of Jews means there's a big gathering of food. Bishvil Shehei Regil and Lavo, so that they would come. Again, it's not a secret that you bring food, people will show up. But Rishona, back in the day, originally, Lo Hayu Zazim Misham Kalayom, right? The Edim would have to stay there because someone who goes Chutz L'Tchum, right? If you remember from Erevin, if you go Chutz L'Tchum, you're not allowed to go anywhere afterwards, right? You're stuck. But then Hitzkin Rabbi Gamliel Zaken Shayu Mahalchan Alpayim Amal L'Chol Ruach, that they should end up getting Shvisa in Yerushalayim to get 2,000 amos in every direction. Lo Elu Bavad. Not only that, right? Ella Af Chachma Habal Liyaleid. Even if it's a midwife, V'Habal Itzil Min Adleikam Min Agayis Min Anahar Umin Amapolas. Right? Someone coming to save somebody from any dangerous situation, from a fire, etc. Hare Elu Kanshe Ha'ir. Right? That person gets the status of the city where he traveled to. Right? Of Yeshlam Apayim L'Chol Ruach, and they can then use the tchum from the city and outward. That was again done for these people, because otherwise, again, people are not going to come. Right? If again, one of the heterim that the Hatzalah people use, right, is that otherwise they're not going to do it. Okay, Vayter says Gemara Ibay Lehu Beis Yazik Tnan O Beis Yazik Tnan. Obviously, not a tremendous nafkamina, but the Gemara will point out what the difference is. Right? Is it Beis Yazik Tnan and Lishna Mal Yehu? Right? Apparently, Beis Yazik with an ayin is a praise, is a benefit. As the pasuk says, "Vayazkehu vayizkalehu," that meaning to put a fence around it. That's talking about the chotzer, meaning the protecting, right? Using a fence to protect the chotzer. So then, Beis Yazik, it was positive that they were being protected. They were being welcomed into Shalayim. Odom, or maybe Beis Yazik Tanan, right? The word Yazik, right? Hezek, Nezek is damages, right? Lishna Tzarahu, that's a language of pain or negativity. Dechtiv, because the pasuk says, Vu Asur Bazakim, right? He's locked in chains, right? I don't know why you couldn't just use, it could be a different, I'm not so well versed on the Shorashim, but I would have thought it was Lashon Nezek. But okay, either way, Bazakim is like handcuffs. Okay, either way, so Amar Abaye says Tashma, right? Well, I'll just use the language of the Mishnah to prove which one it was. Right? Sudos Gedolos Hayu Asan Lahem Sham, Kadesh Yu Regil and Lavo. If there was a lot of food there, so it must have been positive, right? Again, it wasn't negative. This Gemara says, no, you can't use that as a proof. Dilma Tarte, Havu Avdibu. It could have been both. Could have been, yeah, you're stuck in this chotzer, but we're going to feed you, right? So you don't start grumbling. It could have been both, right? It's not necessarily mutually exclusive. Okay, let's do the Mishnah. Then again, we'll stop at the Gemara like we did yesterday. How do they ask and test the Edim? So Zug Sheba Rishon Botkenos Rishon. Whoever showed up first, right, they got tested first. Machlis is a Gadol Shebahem. You take in the greater one of the two. I guess that was, I guess they would imagine, give kavod to where kavod is due. And they would say, check it out, like, tell us where you saw the moon. That was in front of the sun, was it behind the sun? Now, obviously, that's not a rhetorical question, that's a stupid question. Not really a stupid question, but again, you'll see that they're going to ask a bunch of questions here. I'll just point out this one because it's really obvious. The moon can never be in front of the sun. Right? If the moon was in front of the sun, A, that would be an eclipse, right? And B, so you wouldn't necessarily see anything. It doesn't work. Right? The moon is always behind the sun. What's it called? So yeah. So the I just read the Fenechama or the Acharechama. Okay, it says lefnei chama or leachar chama. Was the moon before the sun or after the sun? Letzvona or ledroma, north or south? Kama haya gvoa, how high was it? And leayin haya nota, which way was it pointing? Which way was it going? Leaning. Kama haya rachav, how wide was the sun? Right. Im amar lefnei chama lo amar klum. If he said it was before the sun, so then he hasn't said anything. Meaning the moon, the new moon rather, is always going to be behind the sun, right, as it's going from east to west. So if he says it was in front of the sun, in front of the chama, so that's nothing. And then there's other ways that those questions were used to figure out if he was lying or to try and make him uneasy. Right, after the first guy's testimony checks out, so then they would bring the second guy in and they would test him. If they both said the same thing, so then great. Their edus is valid, and we can accept it, and that's Rosh Chodesh. Usharkol zugos. What did they do with everybody else? They would ask them, right, again, if you already had somebody to be mekadesh the chodesh with, they would still be mechaber to all the people who came, and by asking them the main kind of questions, not all the details, but the main questions, just to make them feel chashuv. Not because they needed that. So we don't want to upset them, right? You don't want them to be frustrated. But again, you can imagine if you came 2, 3, 4, 5 times and your edus wasn't used, so you wouldn't come anymore. So they wanted to make sure that you felt chashuv, right? You get to see the Sanhedrin, you got accepted, ask questions, etc. Even though you may realize what they're doing, but still would treat the edim who came with kavod so that they should want to come back. And it should be Mekadesh the Chodesh. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll go Vayter and the Hilchos Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.